This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Well, I don't know who's worrying or hurrying, but if you were worrying and hurrying on your way, wherever you were going, you found where you should be at. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts, Ray Guarino and his imitable, or some other word I made up, guy in the basement, Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
That's me, the guy in the basement right here in the Nutmeg State. How are you, Ray?
Very good, Chris. Very good.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm heard.
Don't yell. You're a little overmodulated. I had to cut you back a little bit. So.
Ooh, okay.
A little hot on your end.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, take it when you can get it.
Yes, that's why I need the powder. Yes, it is a fantastic show. We have mounds to talk about, don't we, on this fine, upstanding, light and breezy August afternoon. It's really nice out there. It's nice up here and the Constitution State. It's very good. It's breezy. There are chipmunks, there are squirrels, and there are birds flying low and taunting my cat. But that's nice. really about what's going on here. The boredom is just overwhelming.
Well, we'll stave that boredom off because we're going to have Mr. Carl Anthony as a guest with us today from Automoblog. And, you know, Carl always has his finger on the pulse of things. We have a good time listening and learning.
Or somewhere close, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be bringing you that shortly. Any automotive maladies or repairs this week that you want to...
Good God, man. Of course there is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I must be the only individual that has two well-running vehicles. I mean, well-running. That both have check engine lights on.
Nice.
It's amazing. It is amazing. And they're not even like major lights in the field of maladies. A lot of times the advice given on Dr. Google is just turn the light off and just see if it comes back on again. You know, that's basically what it is.
And you know, the other thing is with certain check engine lights, through a series of key cycles, meaning shutting the car off, turning it on, that it'll clear. If the computer doesn't see it again, it will extinguish it in a number of key cycles. So that also happens.
And the funny thing is, both of these maladies on both of these cars, every once in a while, the light will go off on its own. Like with me, nothing to do with me. I haven't switched it off with any sort of scanning gizmo. It just off on its own. I had the little tracker out. I was running errands with it, and I had the light on.
Uh-huh.
The light was on, and I'm just driving along with it, you know, being a happy little boogerhead. And on the way home from running errands, the light went off on its own.
Now, that was when you got the car, the light was on, so you didn't really...
I've been fighting with it. It's a P0507, which basically the code means that the idle... The cold idle stays high too long.
Right, yeah.
Basically what it's saying. So it's either a vacuum leak or an IAC valve. And I think I had mentioned in previous episodes that the IAC valve looked new.
And for people who don't know, IAC stands for idle air controller.
Idle air controller.
And that's what it'll do. It'll mimic a vacuum leak and also help make adjustments for that low idle. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I went hunting around for that elusive vacuum leak and I didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
I snipped some of the ends of some of the hoses that had a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of room there, a little service loop. I was able to snip a little off and readjust those, and everything seemed to be fine. So I'm going after the IAC valve. I'm going to throw money at this one, Ray.
All right.
So I have one on order. I want to see if maybe if new means never ever worked in this situation.
I had an interesting malady this week myself.
Oh, tell me.
Decided on one of those nice, warm nights. My wife and I were going to go out and take a ride. We can take the Fiat top down, you know, have a ball. And as we were pulling out of the driveway and got up the block, my daughter had texted my wife and said, "Tell Dad his right headlight is out." I'm like, "Uh-oh. Oh, okay." So, you know, at one point I pulled over, and of course I went over and said, "Yeah, the right headlight is out." And, you know, what did I do?
What'd you do? You hit it.
I tapped on it. It didn't come back on.
Hey, Take the ball of your hand and you hit the glass.
So we were driving around, and then at one point I said, let me just do a little, I turned the light on and off, and that didn't do it. And then what I did is I put the brights on.
Okay.
Because it's a single light system. There's only two headlights in the car, so it's a dual bulb. And I had wired headlight relays into this car many, many years, probably 15 years ago. And now when I put the brights on, not only did the one low beam go out, but the brights didn't come on. So I had nothing.
Holy smokes. I would think that the bright would come on and that it was a filament in the bulb.
Because it's actually separate circuits through the relays and all that. And they actually, Fiat does this a kind of a cool way. If you follow the schematic, you'll see the power comes in through the switch, through the headlight switch, and then it goes through four separate fuses in the fuse box.
Yes.
One is for the right low, one is for the right high, one is for the left low, one's for the left high. So
I had a BMW like that. Yeah, an 80 BMW.
Which is nice.
I thought it was. It was a nice luxury.
So I drove around with the one light all night, and then the next day I started looking at it and verifying, I had everything in the fuse box correct, the relays. Well, I did find a problem. I'm using these... The company's called Wirth, and they sell a lot of German stuff to German. It's a German company. They send, if you're Porsche, Audi stuff, but they have these fuse holders that are black plastic, and you kind of push and twist, and it opens up, and the fuse goes inside.
A
barrel type fuse. And what they have is these little brass set screws at the edge of that fuse holder. You take your wire, strip about an eighth of an inch off. Stick it in there and tighten the set screw. Well, when I went to look, one of the power wires to feed one of the relays was disconnected from the fuse holder.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
And I wasn't even there.
I know. I had one of those come loose on my Pontiac and gave me the ignition problem. I thought the ignition was cutting out. It was actually to the coil wire. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I looked. There was no set screw. It literally loosened up and fell out somewhere.
Wow.
So,
yeah, but what about the set screw?
That was another problem. So luckily I have a box of these things, so I took another screw, put it in, solved that. Well, anyway, first of all, let me just say that if people want to see what I'm talking about, I posted this. So go to...
I'm going to go now.
Go to Motormouth Radio on either Twitter, on Facebook, or the... Well, it's not on the website. Twitter or Facebook. Instagram is real_ Motormouth Radio.
And on Instagram.
And I took some... Instagram, I put a few more pictures on, because you can use up to 10 on there. And I couldn't fix the first time. I tacked it again yesterday, and I fixed the problem. And what it came down to was these two-pin connectors that I like to use. Battery tenders use them. It's a black two-pin connector to disconnect.
This is looking like a project by the pictures here.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, you got to take out the tools you need. Of course, I had to have the right, the real tools were the circuit diagram and, the schematics, because you have to see the current flow path. You have to be able to diagnose that way. And I basically had it everywhere I should have it. I was pulling the dash apart. Brian, Macroman Brian thought maybe it was going to be the high beam switch, which is, of course, in the column. And I was ready to go there because it was a viable possibility. But I wanted to find the wires where they come down the column and probe it there before I took it apart. And what I found was it was one of the connector that went around to the right side. The left side all checked out good. But on the right side, it was one of those two-pin connectors. I guess it didn't even look bad. But when I took it apart and played with it and cleaned it and then verified voltage, I could have used a power probe to actually command the headlight on, but I didn't. I got it to work. And I said, okay, so it wasn't a bad ground. Well, it could have been on the ground side. I can't say that it wasn't, but it was just a connector. And that's a case of the car sits more than it's used. And even though connectors are encased and you know, they're not out in the weather and the car isn't out in the weather, things will degrade. So
sure,
you know, there we go.
Wow. It's funny you should mention connectors. I am in the process of chasing that other P2196 in the Explorer.
Right,
which is an oxygen sensor issue, sensing that there's too rich a mixture. And in this case, it's bank one, side one, bank one, S1, B1. Yeah, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, Ray was right. I bought those fuel injectors and one of them is leaking. And I was like stomping around and I was just making a complete mess of myself. But then I realized, I said, wait a minute, bank one, side one. I'm like, what's the chances of it happening on the same fuel injector that I was having trouble with? So I start following the wire. Off the fuel injector, off the number one fuel injector, and I follow it down the side of the engine, and it goes behind one of the cylinder, the cylinder heads, and I pull out this ugly, disgusting, corroded clamp setup here, this connector that is almost half melted.
Oh boy!
It seems to have broken off its whatever holder it was on, because half of it is hanging off the connector.
Uh-huh.
And this is part of the butchery that sometimes when you purchase an old police vehicle, this is what you have to endure. You have to deal with this stuff. So of course the car was hot yesterday and I was like, wow. So I said, let me let it cool off before I focus on that. And that's going to be my next point of attack will be, and the same way with you. It's just you're looking at a connector that it does its job. It keeps the connection secure, but sometimes, especially one that's probably rested up against the hot cylinder head.
Right. Well, this is something
can get compromised.
You know, this is something that our Poobah Joe always used to say, and I reiterate it all the time to people. You have a fault and you have a code and you think of the component that it's associated with. That's not always the problem. The problem could be anything else in that path, which could be a connector, a ground connector on a bulkhead or something. It could be, where it passes through a piece of, a bulkhead or something. It could be anything. So that's why you have to have a planned, systematic approach. And what I did with this is I started kind of coming out of, I took the headlight switch out of the dish, which was not easy to do on that car, believe me.
No, I see the picture.
And it's just a simple toggle. And, it's just a simple toggle switch that goes through the dish. But I had to drop the column to let the dash cluster come out, which is, I've done all that before. And then you have to reach in and around on a 90 to get to that switch. And it was not easy.
Wow.
But talking about reaching around and finding a 90, we've got with us right now,
Carl, you have fantastic timing.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't time that better. Mr. Carl Anthony.
That's how us car guys do it, right? Fantastic timing.
Exactly.
Carl Anthony from automobileblog.com.
A
breath of fresh air.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, it's always nice to get a text or an email to be invited back. Because every time I get off the show, I think, oh boy, they're never going to ask me back again. That's it. Like, that's it. I'm done with those guys. And then when I get a text, I'm like, well, I haven't offended them yet. So,
oh, geez, you kidding me? Well, that's what we say all the time. But I'll tell you.
Exactly.
And Carl, just to let you know now, for people who know, we count Carl among our good friends. And as a good friend, there's many times he would get that text Saturday night.
Yes.
It's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And it almost came to that because early in the week, I said, hey, you know what? I'm working around some guests. And I said, wow, we haven't had Carl. Let me hit up Carl. Monday went by. Tuesday went by. I said, oh, my God, I never got a hold of Carl. Let me finally do this before it's Saturday night.
So. Right. Right. And, you know, speaking of that car guy circle, I listened last week to the tribute episode to Chassis John. My heart is just broken. We were just on playing in traffic with him. There he was. He'd always have his camera set up in his garage You know, he marched to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I worked for Chevy truck team for a long time, always, you know, grew up around Chevy trucks. And, you know, I would love getting on topics of GM trucks with John. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have playing in traffic. And, you know, gosh, I mean, Ray, when you texted me, I don't know, man, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, definitely.
You know what? Sucks.
It just shows you the frailty of the existence that we're all a part of. It can happen to anybody almost any time. I mean, John certainly didn't see it coming, and it was a medical thing, but it could have been, you know, like I tell my wife, hey, if I step off the street and the N36 bus comes by, I said, nice knowing you. You know, that's how it happens.
You know? Well, I texted all of my in-laws, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, you know, so they were all praying for him at the end. And I just said, guys, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I literally just saw him.
Right.
I mean, literally, we just had a playing in traffic episode with him. So, so great tribute show and, definitely a loss to our community for sure.
With that thing. Yeah. Without a doubt. But you know what? We're here to carry on. And like, you know, Thursday night playing track, we have a big hole in that show now that was filled in. And, you know, as much fun as Brian and I have, and even Justin, he's been AWOL for a couple weeks, he's busy. You know, you just can't replace that integral member. So, yeah, we'll do our best and we move forward. We don't have a choice. We have to.
Right. So, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. You have to move forward.
So speaking of moving forward, the car world has been moving forward. Right. There's been some big changes now that I heard about this week.
Oh, my word, guys. Yeah. So the big change for us gearhead guys, and I'll kind of preface it like this. If a small SUV or crossover, and no offense to small SUVs and crossovers, you know, I own one. I drive one. I get it. But, you know, if a small SUV or crossover goes electrified, you're like, okay. Yeah, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But when one of the most iconic muscle cars of all time, you know, steps out there, and this is not a Mustang Mach-E situation where they're like, well, we're still going to have a gasoline, we're still going to have a 5-liter Mustang, but, you know, the Mach-E version's going to be a, you know, SUV, and then we're going to tease some concept stuff. Like Dodge, like, really came out this week at the M1 concourse on Wednesday and was like, this is what we're doing. You know, we're taking our iconic Charger and Challenger and we're making them electrified. And you're going to get some last edition models. There's 7 different variations that are going to come. You know, if you want a gasoline variant, but this is it. And so I think that this one really kind of strikes a chord, with car enthusiasts, whether that chord is good, whether that chord is bad. I'm not really the person maybe to speak to that so much, but I think there's something to be said when, you know, you look at, say, BMW, a Lotus, McLaren, and you see in the news, you see their announcements that they are introducing the last of their gasoline variants, right? And they're moving to electrified. And you go, okay, well, that's cool, you know, but those cars are not necessarily attainable for the everyday person.
Right.
Sure. Your Dodge Chargers, your Dodge Challengers, your Mustangs, your Camaros, those are attainable cars for the everyday person. Those are performance cars that are attainable for the everyday guys like us. So when they go electrified, I think on one hand, you can sit there and you can say, well, this is amazing because the power and performance will be incredible, which it will. This new Charger Daytona SRT concept is faster, more powerful than the Hellcat, right? So it's all of those things, checks all those boxes, but it is definitely the change of a new era, right? You know, I mean, this means that the Hemi engine is gone, you know, and that can be a tough pill to swallow. So this one, I think, hits close to home. And I think that there's a lot of different ways this conversation can go. But the fact of the matter is, and, you know, I guess I'd kind of sum it up like this is, you know, the automotive industry is moving towards electrification, whether we like it or not. And it was just for us enthusiasts, it was like, yes, small SUVs are doing the electrified thing, sedans are doing the electrified thing, whatever. But, you know, now we're at a car that really has touched a lot of our lives for many years.
I have two thoughts on that.
Yeah.
You think that maybe they're like, they have this stash of gas engines, they're going to just stick in a warehouse and they're not really saying anything about it, like just in case. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, I am not giving up yet. I know a lot of my friends are not giving up yet because I don't think it's a sustainable platform in this country with the infrastructure that I see where I live. So
right. Same.
I ain't giving up my gas engine just yet. So,
well, Carl, let me ask you a question. I know we have our own opinions on it, but do you think that this is the end of the four-cycle gasoline engine as we know it?
So there's two schools of thought on this. And again, I want to be very cognizant of the motor mouth listeners because, you know, I'm on two sides of this. On one hand, I am a car enthusiast and I love the Hemi engine. I absolutely love. I worked on the Dodge Auto Show circuit for many years. And the Charger and Challenger were my cars, right? And the Hemi engines and the 6.4 Hemi is my favorite. On the other hand, I'm also an industry guy too. And so it's, you know, do I think it's the end of the gasoline engine? Yeah.
Really?
That is what the industry says. So this is not necessarily Carl saying this. This is Carl working in the industry. The gasoline engine has a limited shelf life because of, you know, climate change, because of efficiency, because of horsepower and performance. That's the angle Dodge is going to take it from, right? They're going to say, look, we're going to do a next generation of the Charger and the Challenger, but gasoline engines don't have the amount of power and performance, right? So that's Dodge's angle, power and performance. Another automaker might say, well, you know, in the interest of efficiency and economy, you know, an electrified powertrain does better than a gasoline powertrain, right? So the industry is saying from efficiency, from a standpoint of the environment, from the standpoint of performance, and then if you look at, you know, certain government mandates, right, that are going to restrict the production of gasoline engines, there's that factor. And then there's the other factor of it's not necessarily autonomous cars or electrified cars. It's the idea of the software defined car. So in the concept of a software defined car, and Joe has said this on Motormouth Radio, Joe D said this many times, and it's where a car becomes like your smartphone, right? Mm-hmm. Where, so take your smartphone and picture that as an automotive architecture. That is fundamentally changing how we view cars, right? And so the industry says, what's the best engine for a software defined platform for a car that's going to have the features like your cell phone? What's the best engine for that? Is that a gasoline engine or is that an electrified engine? And the industry ultimately says that's an electrified powertrain, right? So is it the end of the gasoline engine? Yes, in that sense. Also, no, because if you look at, and Hagerty is the best example of this, Hagerty is looking at it the other way going, well, we embrace the love of driving. Hagerty has their old car fest here every year. They've got that concourse of lemons going on right now. So it's not the end of the gasoline engine in the sense that it will hold a special place among enthusiasts. And there will be groups that will continue to, in their love of driving, promote the love and the joy of a gasoline engine. It's a very difficult conversation, but there's two sides of the story. In one way, yes, it's the end, but in another way, it opens up this avenue for all of these enthusiasts to embrace, you know, the gasoline engines that they've loved for many years, whether that's a Mustang or a Camaro or a Charger Challenger. It's there's a lot of emotion, I think, underneath all of this conversation.
Yeah.
Mm. So you don't think it's going to be the end of the gasoline engine, let's say, in our lifetime?
Maybe. Well, here's
how you define lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. After the last conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, in our lifetime, yeah, because the target in the industry right now, as far as automotive industry is going, they're looking at 2030, right? Mm-hmm. So these automakers want to have all of their platforms, every vehicle in their lineup, be electrified or be pretty close to being electrified. So a certain high percentage, right? By 2030. Then 2050 is the carbon neutrality side where they have zero emissions manufacturing. Now, the autonomous driving stuff and the electrification infrastructure, that is really, those are still gray areas yet. But what a lot of these automakers have said, by 2030, all of our portfolio, all of our product lineup is going to be electrified or hybrid. It's either all going to be that way by 2030 or a significant portion is going to be that way by 2030. So in the next 20 years, you know, we will probably see vehicles where, you know, there's no longer the EV designation, right? So like you don't have, you know, so like if you had like a Ford Explorer, right? Explorer EV or a Hyundai Kona, Kona EV, the EV designation is just going to be gone. We're not going to classify vehicles as electrified anymore because they're all going to be that way, right? Yeah. Now, the bigger question is the infrastructure there? Is the charging there? Is it, and those things we don't have figured out yet.
I got to tell you something, Carl. Just the other day, I took a ride with a friend to pick up some parts in New Jersey. And we had to take the GW Bridge. I don't know what the equivalent is where you live, but think about a road that just sits and does nothing for over an hour. And coming back, we did the same thing with the Cross Bronx Expressway. And we were next to this guy in an EV car, and he looked like he had to go to the bathroom pretty bad. I'm thinking, what's his charge gauge at? I wonder if it was it the coffee he was drinking, the Ultra Mocha Choca, or is it the charge gauge, which is now giving him an issue? And he, and we're in stopped traffic that you can't get out of.
Right.
And I'm like, well, imagine if there were 30 of those, or 50 or 100 of those around us right now. What, I mean, traffic jams other than traffic just because these cars die? I don't know.
Right. It's, you know, and it's one of those things where in working on my side of the business, the downfall, and I love the work that I do. So it's so please don't hear it as that. But the downside of the work that I do is that what you see is this nice porcelain veneer of a press release, right? And so everything is revolutionary and everything is, you know, everything is groundbreaking. And it's not that it's not, it is, but what we found this out with autonomous cars back about 2014, 2015, right? Because if you looked at the press releases back then, we should have had autonomous cars by now. That's what they were saying. By 2020 or by 2025 at the latest, we'll have autonomous cars in full production. The press releases made it pretty. They made it shiny. And it was easy to buy into that hype, right? And then we started actually developing some of this, this autonomous technology. And we went, oh no, that's not even close to, you know, that's not even a possible realistic timeline at all. I think electrification, especially with infrastructure, is the same thing. So we have all these targets, okay, 2030 or 2025 or 2040 or whatever. But the fact is once you start digging into these from a product development and an engineering side, you start realizing how challenging, you start realizing all these little challenges, like whack-a-moles when you play that game at the fair and they pop up, right? And then that pushes your timeline back and that pushes your timeline back, right? Sure. So again, I think we have to look at the glossiness that a press release can be and say, okay, that might be a good goal, but what is really the reality, right? Like, what does it take to develop an autonomous car that will actually perform at a high safety standard? Or as to your point, Ray, how can we develop a charging infrastructure, you know, and completely overhaul our cities to the point where
And what about the you know, in the especially in the rural areas, we haven't figured out how to keep roads in good shape yet, let alone have charging infrastructure.
Charging infrastructure.
But I'll tell you what, one of our friends and calls is going to call in on after the break and talk about this with us all. We'll share. So we are at the bottom of the hour, Carl, so we need to take a break.
Yeah.
And of course, that's a lot to digest. So let me tell you about another show on this station that bears listening to. It's called The Art of Heaven. While we're talking about Wednesday.
Uplifting.
Since you say that, Wednesdays at 10, it says it right here. It says it's an uplifting faith-based show playing Christian worship music mixed with hip-hop, R&B, gospel, rock, and reggae. That can be pretty interesting. I know Mark Fauna does that. And I do have to say that since the bottom of the hour, it is now time for the WHBC weather forecast powered by Pantano's Gourmet in Hewlett, Uniondale, and Garden City. Today, we will have overcast skies, slight chance of a rain shower, high 83. Tonight, dark, followed by tomorrow morning, it'll be, little George Clooney, it'll be lightly.
Lightly scattered dark tonight,
exactly. No, cloudy skies with periods of light rain late. Low of 72. It's currently about 83, 84 here in Garden City.
A high whenever you get up.
Yay, the hippy-dippy weatherman, man. So do we have, Chris, an honor group of this fine hour?
Of course we do. On this fine, upstanding August afternoon here at Motormouth Radio. And today, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you drive to the car show or cruise night with your classic car, to get there and find another one exactly like it. Hey, there's another blue Camaro like mine. Your thought soon goes from, that's cool, to the question, am I not unique? Then you start to think of new ideas to make your car stand out from the other one. Paint flames on it. How about a new hood scoop? Or maybe Krager mags. So you arrive next week to the show with your new flamed out, hood scooped, Kragered equipped car to find the other guy did exactly the same thing to his car because he saw yours last week. So if your hot rod looks exactly like some other guy's car across town, then just accept the fact that you're not that unique and park next to each other to celebrate the fact that you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So, and mind you, I was at a car show. I saw 369 Chevelles that were all red and all had the same wheels on them, and they were all parked together.
The cruise night I've been going to, we've had this a row. You're right. There were like 466 to 67 Chevelles, all red, and then like 167 GTO. I parked mine on the other side. I didn't even get in with those guys.
Yeah.
But I did talk with him because he wanted to know some things. So I did, we did talk. Mm-hmm. Carmine. I talked to Carmine, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
So, Carl, stick with us. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break here, and we'll be back with more on WHPC 90.3. Keep it where you got it.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys morning. Call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motormouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motormouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going. Good show as usual.
Motormouth.
You guys are trouble. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're indifferent because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Vote him out!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, we try to impart some wisdom here and there, and that's why we have guys like Carl with us. Motormouth Radio back on the air. 516-572-7440. And we are back and having a ball, a heck of a time. So
I got to jump in. I got to ask Carl one of the meaningful Carl questions.
Sure. Go ahead.
Carl, I'm on automoblog.com, and you have touched my heart.
Okay.
You touched my heart once again, because you have an article on one of my favorite movies that nobody knows about.
Is it Sorcerer?
It is Sorcerer.
Wow. Yeah.
How did you? Sorcerer is the most fantastic movie ever. And if it wasn't for that Star Wars.
Yep.
Freaking Star Wars, Sorcerer would have been an Oscar nominated movie. But because that grown up cowboy movie.
I never saw the movie. That's interesting. I know what I did see, though. I see a flashy light. So let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, great, John.
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, John.
We're good. Hey, John.
Well, Carl brought up some wonderful points, but, you know, you're sort of a captive audience, as you and I both know, in the New York area. You know, I agree with Carl. I love the Hemi in my Ram 1500. I don't ever want to see it go away, but, yeah, they're going to sunset at some point. I just think that, you know, the politicians have gotten to a point where they're trying to, you know, beat the bandwagon to get people to go, yeah, I should do this.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the right time.
Well, there's
when I looked up the cost per kilowatt hour, and Ray, you are paying the same, you know, KWH that I am.
Yep.
56.5% more than the national average.
Right.
I'm going to race to get an EV.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's, you're right. I mean, when it comes down to cost, people talk about gas mileage. Okay, how much per gallon does it cost? Well, I haven't heard really any people talking about, well, what's it going to cost, you know, per kilowatt hour to charge? People don't understand that, you know, they get electricity in the house. They think, oh, it shows up, you know, and I send in a check every month, but not many people ever break that down. And that's very true, John. Very true.
And on top of that, you know, most of the homes, and you know from the area, some of them still have 60-amp service. You need 60-amp service just for one EV.
Many older homes in our communities do. That's right. Older people who haven't upgraded. Of course, now when you sell, you have to upgrade to 100-amp service. But this, like you said, many houses exist that
even
don't.
Even 100-amp service is not enough to service an EV.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. Some of them require, I think, as much as, you know, 60 amps.
Okay. Yeah.
You can't get blood from a stone.
No.
Right.
And, you know, oh, God, if you're a young family and now you got, two kids, you, your wife have an EV, and you get two EVs for the kids. Do the math, 5 times 60.
Well, you know, and there's a thing called energy credit payback or benefits, and the school here has taken advantage of that. I asked a while ago, we have this new green, it's a green energy building out here that they built a couple of years ago, and there's charging stations in the faculty lot, which is and I said, why did they put charging stations there? And someone told me, who knew the ins and outs, said, well, the school got more green energy credit if they were to install two more charging stations, so that's where they stuck them. I'm like, ha, 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 okay.
Right. So it's all. Who's paying for that? We're paying for it in our taxes.
Exactly.
They may be getting credits back, but it's coming out of somebody's pocket. It's not free.
Right.
Right.
Correct. You know.
And, you know, John, this is kind of what I was saying before, you know, the press releases and the marketing, they make it look shiny and pretty. But I think the important thing for all of us car enthusiasts to do, especially if we're on a budget, and all of us are, is to really ask some of these critical questions, right? Is to, you know, ask, you know, okay, if I do trade in my gasoline car, okay, what is the offset? I can tell you right now that I work in the industry. I live in Detroit. I work here. I'm around this stuff all the time. I am not ready to own an electric car yet. I just recently upgraded. I traded out of my 2014 Ford Focus. I bought another gasoline vehicle, you know, I'm not necessarily ready just yet. One of the things I think that's going to help the infrastructure, and you actually see Volvo is starting to do this now with Starbucks. So they're going to start putting stations, like charging stations, at Starbucks locations, right? So if other companies got on board with this, I think that would help the infrastructure, right? So if you go to McDonald's or you go to the grocery store, you've got, you know, charging infrastructure there. I think that helps, but I still think we're a little ways away from that being mainstream.
Carl, let me ask you. Does it help if what that means is they raise their prices to subsidize the charging station?
See, just thinking that's the same just thing. It.
So now you're paying no matter what. I mean,
right.
That's the thing. I mean, yes, for convenience, yeah, that's nice, but, you know.
And then there's the overall MSRP, you know, and there are many people here in the industry in Detroit that say, okay, yeah, you know, there's all that stuff, charging infrastructure. Let's just talk about buying the car. Let's just talk about just the first step. Step number one, buying the car at the dealership, right? The MSRP, and of course, vehicle prices have shot up everywhere, including electrified vehicles. So there is just the cost of entry, not the cost of ownership, the cost of entry between an electrified vehicle versus a gasoline vehicle. That is a steep, there is a difference, right? So to just even buy the vehicle, there's more than a gasoline vehicle. That's if now the electrified vehicle version is even available, right? Because again, living here in the Detroit area, our lots are still pretty hit or miss. You know, I was talking to a Mazda dealer a couple weeks ago. They're like 4 months out on like their CX-5 and some of their most popular SUVs, right? So if they're that far behind on gasoline versions, I mean, the chances of you getting an electric vehicle are probably even a little bit less, right?
Hey, you know, we saw that cars were affected by the chip shortage.
Yep.
Electric vehicles, you know, I don't know how many chips are in those things.
Right. Yeah, it's the same exact thing. Yeah. And the more, you know, again, using the thing, and a lot of people will say, and I think it's a bit of a misnomer, they go, well, autonomous vehicles are next or electrified vehicles are next. And my argument for that, it's not either of those things. It's software defined vehicles. It's your car resembling more of a phone.
Right.
That is the precursor to autonomy. That is the precursor to electrification. Mm-hmm. Without software defined cars, you don't have autonomous or electrified cars. But, you know, as you're saying, Ray, is that if your car becomes more like a cell phone, right, you know, then what?
It sounds like Soylent you know, Green to me. I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Al, Jeep and Al just asked me a question. His wife just brought up asking if all EVs have the same plug architecture.
Yes, they I
would assume they would, but then again, I've seen so many things where there is an autonomy between manufacturers, and if you want to use our stuff, you use like phones. Not all Apples and Androids do not interchange. So I would think so. Yeah. Okay.
The true answer to this should be, and I think we can look at automotive history to sort of kind of use as a guidepost, right? So, you know, Volvo, Niels Bohlen, and Volvo, the seatbelt, right? Turned that patent over in the interest of public safety. Mercedes-Benz safety patents, all Mercedes-Benz safety patents are available for just $1, right?
Okay.
And that includes crumple zones. That includes all the work they did with ABS, right? They turned all of that over to the industry in the interest of public safety. So if we want electrification to, they want everybody to get on board with electrification, then it needs to be standardized, needs to be universal. So it doesn't matter whether I drive a Hyundai, a Ford, a Chevy, a Volvo, a Buick, a Bentley. It doesn't matter that I can go to anywhere and it's a universal, right? That would be the way to go in the interest because as they're pushing electrification, one of the main pushes for electrification is that it will help with the carbon footprint and it will help put the brakes on climate change. Okay, cool. All right. So fine. Then make that accessible to everybody, right? Because if there's, you know, 100 different charging ports and I'm driving a Honda and I pull up and I'm like, oh, this is only for the GM vehicles, right? You have to standardize the architecture there. So, but I think that from everything I've heard in the industry, that is the focus, is to standardize it so anybody can charge anywhere with any vehicle.
The other
very
question
similar,
is,
very similar to a gas pump, right?
And the other it's question
standardize.
The other question always comes up is, well, how is the electricity generated? What is the source there? And that's a whole nother can of worms. It's not clean on that end.
Right. And some of that stuff, and I'll be honest, like some of that stuff is beyond my pay grade. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still just a basic car guy at heart. You know, I'm a product car guy, industry guy at heart. Some of that stuff is beyond my pay grade, but one thing, you know, again, one thing from an industry side, it's like, it's headed that way, whether you like it or not. Does the enthusiast in me like that? I don't know. This is a tough one. You know, this is a tough conversation.
I agree with, and sorry to jump in.
No, you're good.
I live in an area where, probably 500 yards off my backyard, I have solar panels. Mm-hmm. And people came out in masses to protest the solar panels because, they kill birds. And I go, you know, my favorite saying is you can't fix stupid. And they do have, you know, those reflective panels, the mirrors that focus, and pretty much it's a steam engine, and all the mirrors focus to make steam to generate electricity. Mm-hmm. These are photovoltaic, but they came out in mass to protest because they converted what was a sod farm to a solar farm. And, I sat there and went, how stupid are these people? It's a farm. Whether I farm sunlight or I corn, grass, wheat, it's still a farm.
Right.
You know, that's why they call them solar farms.
Right. And I wish I had more answers, guys. I really do. And the thing is, I'm a small cog in a big wheel in a big industry that is, you know, it is sad to, like you said, John, it's sad to see the Hemi go. But at some point, you know, that they sunset it. And what reason they use is, you know, more power and performance, better efficiency. I don't know, but some of that stuff's above my pay grade. But yeah,
I completely understand. But you know, on our laurels, our pocketbook, the politicians are all going to claim, we reduced the carbon footprint, but they didn't do it by taxing us. They did it by convincing us to buy something different than what we were currently driving.
And then the problem is, what about all the stock I have in Holley and Edelbrock and it's going to go belly up because these companies are going to fail now because they're not going to have a market to sell their product. That's not good economy as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You wipe out whole segments of the economy.
Well, just to look at it from the other side here, as muscle car guys, we're used to having cars get canceled on us.
Yeah.
Can go all the way back. I mean, to start from like a 64 GTO, which had such promise, 10 years later, it turned into a Ventura and everybody was mourning. To have a Trans Am that starts out with a 6.6 and then towards the tail end, it's got like a 305 that's not even a turbo can save it. We're used to the ride ending.
Right.
As muscle car guys. So I look at this as one more ride ending, unfortunately.
Right.
So, that's the sad part.
Yeah. And the best thing, you know, for anybody who is listening, who is looking at buying a new car, research, do your research and compare and contrast. And just like John was saying a moment ago, you know, look up different things and do, you know, different costs in, you know, analysis and things like that. Because the reality is that whether gasoline or electrified vehicles right now are expensive. Yeah. And the only real offset you're going to get is trading in your existing car. So that is one sort of benefit that's happened. If you're trading in a vehicle, you're getting way over Blue Book value for it. So there is a bit of a silver lining there. But the fact of the matter is you're going to be paying a lot for a new car today. So, you know, don't necessarily take it just on the press release. Don't necessarily take it on that sort of porcelain polished veneer that everything is perfect and this is going to revolutionize. Do your research. You know, if you have to go to the dealership, look at the car, you know, get in, sit in the back seats, just do all the stuff that you would normally do. Ask all of the good questions, you know, and then make your decision.
Mm-hmm. Smart advice. Yeah.
And Carl, excellent point. You know, sort of, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube videos and kept thinking about, all right, I have a solar farm across the way. It's obviously a good area for it. Maybe I should convert to solar and, you know, cut down on my energy costs.
Right.
But you look at the amount of horror shows that go out because they sell people and they end up paying more money out of pocket with, you know, the incentives, because many people don't realize, if you're getting a $15,000 incentive to do it, you have to have $15,000 off whatever taxes, whether it's state or federal, that you can write off. And they don't do it on multiple years. So there are a lot of things for consideration that, you hit the nail on the head. Do your homework.
Yeah. Do your homework. Right. Just you know, do your homework. Yep.
Right. It's true. All right, John. Well, thank you for that insightful.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Right, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you because Alden Ray monopolized that.
Yeah,
I
know. Sorry about that.
Good afternoon.
Not a problem, John.
There's always a show, and it's on my every Sunday, 12 o'clock. The reminder goes off, and my phone goes, Motormouth Radio.
I love it.
Yeah, good to talk to you, John.
Have a great rest of the day. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Sean. And you know what, guys? Our phones are lit. Let's go right back to the phones and the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Ray. It's Al Handy. How are you?
Good, Al. What's happening?
Al. Hey, Al.
Carl, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while, neither.
Yeah, hey, Al. It's good to talk to you, man. Good to talk to you. Miss you on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm back, but
good.
Very low profile.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. What's up?
Let's talk about a whole other industry that is going to suffer, and whole parts of Indiana is going to wind up being a ghost town. The RV industry.
RVs, okay.
Yeah, now, I tow a travel trailer. I have the 392 Hemi in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? I mean, you got electrified pickup trucks that every 100 miles they got to stop and plug in.
Right.
There was a big article written not too long ago about them going trying to go cross country traveling a small travel trailer,
right,
with the new electric trucks.
Right.
And this is going to be such a boondoggle.
Yep. And, you know, the traditional answer to that is, you know, that's what your diesel engines are for. Your Cummins, your Power Strokes, your Duramax, when you have to tow and you have to go all the way across the country, right? And you have to tow heavy. You know, so you're 100% right, Al, is that, yes, and I'm not picking on any one manufacturer when I say this, but it's cool that, the truck can power my whole house. Great. Okay. But if I'm going to go from Detroit to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where my family lives, that's a 900-mile drive, takes 12 hours. And if I'm making that drive over Thanksgiving, and if I'm towing or hauling anything, and then I get stuck in a winter snowstorm on I-80 in Iowa, right? Like, you would use, in an internal combustion engine, you would use more fuel. So I'm going to use more electrified, I'm going to use more battery juice, right? So still, what is the best vehicle for those long term, you know, whether for work or for pleasure in the case of an RV, you know? So we're still not, you're right, Al. That's another conversation that isn't, you know, you look at these press releases and there's a lot of like conversations that we could break off and say, okay, well, what about this, right? We haven't really thought about this. We haven't really thought about that. One thing we do know is that RV sales jumped up considerably in 2020, because people were, you know, stuck at home, right, and they said, we got to get out and we've got to get on the road. We got to do something. We've got it. We're working from home, you know. So RV sales the last couple of years kind of got a little bit of a boom, got a nice little economic tailwind. But again, you know, what's going to pull those RVs, right?
Well, now we may see RV graveyards, or every yard will have an RV sitting behind it that's now, you know, yard junk.
Will be a condominium, pretty much. Rental property.
Yeah. One of the really things I looked into was the F-150 hybrid.
Right.
Great. I mean, 20-some-odd miles to the gallon, not towing. It towed 12,000 pounds. But all I've read on the internet, which everything is true, of course.
You're right. Abe Lincoln said that.
Yeah. Is the transmission problems they're having, because the way I understand it, the electric motor is in the transmission.
Ah, right.
And right. Then there's also the problem of the finite life of the batteries in any of these electric cars. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they guarantee them for 8 years. Well, what are you going to do? This is designed obsolescence into the car, so you buy more of them?
Yeah, right, right, right.
And then, you know, as far as I know, most of the stuff in those batteries can be recycled, but a lot of stuff can't.
Right.
So now what do you do with the leftovers after yeah, right. all this is done?
Right. And so this is where all these questions that you're asking, you know, Al, is like that pushes the timeline back. Now we're not necessarily at 2030 anymore, right? So it's like the more questions we ask and the more we dive into this and, you know, especially right. from an engineer, and Al, you're an engineer, you know, especially from an engineering right. perspective, you know, you start to discover that these certain questions, they go deeper and they go deeper. And then you get about 8 feet deep into solving some of these problems and you realize, right. yeah, okay, maybe 2030 is not a realistic timeline. That's what happened to autonomous cars. That's why autonomous cars were not here in 2020, because we really mm-hmm. dug into it and we said, no, this is a, and I have a feeling this electrification thing, this is very similar. We're going to dig into it. And I think we're going to realize it's not as easy as what the press releases are making it out to be.
All right, fellas, right. we're going to dig into the end of our show. Al, thanks for calling. It was great to talk to you again.
Take care, guys.
All right, we'll talk
yeah,
to you again
Al,
soon.
Good to
now.
Talk to you, man. Yeah, right.
Always a pleasure, Al.
Always a pleasure.
All right, and we only have a minute. We're out of here. Carl, the last installation of Summer Breeze is this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, yep. 2 o'clock on our Twitter page.
Okay.
But it'll be our pinned tweet, so you'll find it there.
Excellent. We're looking forward to that. And, Carl, we thank you for coming on with us. It was a pleasure, as always. And yeah. We'll get you on again. We could talk about maybe a couple of diverse topics next time instead of just
I hope I didn't bring anybody down on this show. It's a complicated topic.
I know.
But it's the future, and that's what we need to talk about this stuff almost ad nauseum, because it's the future. And we didn't even discuss the cybersecurity issues that are going on with
which is a whole other show.
That's a whole other bag of worms. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, for now, we're out, unfortunately. Carl, thank you. We'll be in touch. We'll get you back on. We'll get you on Thursday night again, too, on Plane and Traffic, of course.
Yep. My pleasure. Take care, everybody.
Until then, Chris, what do we always say?
Always say, don't follow us home, but if you do, get ready to talk about Sorcerer, because it's the greatest movie, and the article is on my blog, and go watch that movie, because it's fantastic.
Autoblog.net.
Carl, thank you.
You got it. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Carl Anthony, Motormouth Radio, signing out. We'll see you next week, 90.3 WHBC. See ya.
See ya. We'll